rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Huntin' Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Huntin' Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A new poll shows Alabama Democrat Doug Jones with his first lead over Republican U.S. Senate candidate Roy Moore in the Senate race in the wake of sexual misconduct allegations against Moore. As we hear from Sharon Reed, Jones now leads 46-42%.
Moore consistently polled better than Jones before sexual misconduct allegations against the Senate candidate were published by the Washington Post last Thursday. Last night in Alabama, Moore promised to sue the Post, and on Saturday, he questioned the timing of the story. White House counselor Kellyanne Conway says Moore should step aside if the sexual allegations against him are true.
Nearly 350 people are dead after a powerful 7.3 magnitude earthquake strikes near the Iraq-Iran border on Sunday. Most of the dead are in Iran, and officials say the death toll is likely to rise. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for ProstateVideo.com. I've made many appearances on TV with Larry King. He's a well-known liberal. I'm a well-known conservative. We can't stand each other's political views, but But there's one thing we both passionately agree on. We're both guys over 50, and we both know that 70% or more of guys over 50 will have prostate problems, whether they know it or not. That's why there are dozens of pills to aid with prostate problems. Millions of bottles sold each year, billions of dollars spent, but very few of them work. Most of these pills are missing one key ingredient, so millions of men over 50 are wasting their money. Not anymore. Watch Larry King's free video with his exclusive special report on why so many men are wasting their money and doing nothing for their prostate problems. Larry has experienced the remarkable solution. It's called Prostagenix. It was developed by my great friend, former Stanford quarterback Fred Buckley. Prostagenix is the only supplement that actually works for many men with prostate problems. Go to prostatevideo.com. That's prostatevideo.com. Guys, take it from me and Larry King. It can change your life. Prostatevideo.com.
Jury deliberations restarting now in the corruption trial of U.S. Senate Democrat Robert Menendez of New Jersey. An alternate juror is taking the place of Evelyn Maltzby, who was excused because of a previously scheduled vacation. She told reporters she believes Menendez and his friend Solomon Melgen are not guilty and speculated the case could end with a hung jury. The U.S. military is investigating two Navy SEALs over the death of a Green Beret last June in the African nation of Mali. Naval criminal investigators had confirmed to CNN last month that they were investigating two members of the Navy's elite SEAL Team 6 over the death of Army Staff Sergeant Logan Melgar. Now the Daily Beast is citing two special operations sources as saying the SEALs under investigation allegedly stole money from a fund used to pay informants. It says the sources allege Melgar uncovered the theft and declined their offer to take a cut of the proceeds. This is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Former Vice President Joe Biden's in New York City, where he's been kicking off a 19-city tour to promote his new book, telling NBC's Today Show today that one thing he's not doing is spending a lot of time considering a run for the White House.
If the Lord Almighty came down, sat in the middle of the table and said, Joe, the nomination is yours, but you have to take it now, I would say no. Because I am just, we're working through a whole lot. We're getting there, and I want to focus on my boy.
The book is called Promise Me, Dad, A Year of Hope, Hardship, and Purpose. It details Biden's time as vice president after his son Beau was diagnosed with a brain tumor in 2014. Beau Biden died the following year. The White House now says President Trump and Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte only briefly spoke about human rights when the two met during a conference in the Philippines. Duterte has faced a lot of criticism about his human rights violations for instigating a bloody drug war in his nation. President Trump said he had a great relationship with Duterte. And there are reports NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is looking to get close to $50 million a year in his new contract. ESPN reporting Goodell also wants lifetime use of a private jet and lifetime health insurance for himself and his family. The news comes just days after the Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones threatened to sue the NFL if it re-upped Goodell's contract.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Good afternoon. The weather this afternoon is a chance of rain, mainly before 4 p.m., then it'll be cloudy, I can speak, with a higher near 45, northwest winds around 6 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation is 50%. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 31, north winds around 5 miles an hour. And Tuesday is mostly sunny with a high near 50, north winds around 5 miles an hour. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 32. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 50, light and variable winds. Wednesday night, there's a chance of showers, mainly after 1 a.m., and it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 38. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 54. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 32.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. Compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today two women, and I can pronounce their first names well, but their last names, that's going to kill me. But we'll start with the easy one, Sarah.
Thanks, Larry.
Trewin?
Trewin.
Well, I'll call you Sarah from now on, okay? And Fran.
Just call me Fran. Brzezicki.
Brzezicki.
That's perfect. Yeah,
close enough.
That's right.
How come I got her name? I couldn't get yours, and yours looks easier. Okay. What I usually do, and there's a reason for it, I usually ask people how they got involved in this and what they're doing. I've had people tell me, oh, when I was 12, something happened, and from then I always wanted to be a lawyer or, you know, an accountant or whatever. And then there's... I had four children, mortgage, car payments, medical bills, because my second son was born when my insurance lapsed or stopped the first one, the other one didn't start. He was born in the middle, so I had those to pay, taxes. So I took a job that came along. I was there for 19 years, but I took the job. So I'm curious how people get involved in various, you know, what they're doing. So let's start with you, Sarah. How'd you get involved in this?
You mean in being a nurse?
In being a nurse and being the medical profession, you know.
Okay. Well, I don't have the nice story of, you know, wanting to be a nurse since I was little. Mine is a little different. I was looking for a job that I could support my family, that I would enjoy doing. So I chose nursing about 10 years ago, and I'm very glad I did.
Well, that's great.
It's been good to me.
Yeah, yeah. Fran?
Actually, I've always started when I was growing up, from what I hear from my mom and dad, rest in peace, I used to take care of my stuffed animals, and I used to check their heart rate and put bandages on them and so forth. So nursing was always in my blood, if you will, as a calling, but I started off in information technology, and I really enjoyed it very much until I had a life-changing experience with my husband, who was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Mm. So I went around with my husband, and I was a mother, and I had two small children. And I saw how nurses made a difference, nurses that cared and nurses that cared less. And I knew I could make a difference. So long story short, fast forward, I went back to school again because you never know what you're going to be when you grow up. So this is my third profession. I started on information technology, basically project management, and now nursing. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to use my IT background as a nursing informatics professional, where I can analyze data, do data mining for our population in Hunterton, to look at gap analysis and find solutions, as well as use my other hat as a case manager working with our population who have a need. I'm certified, as Sarah is as well, for to help them with stop smoking or provide information in terms of smoking material. So I'm blessed to be able to educate, train, and that's always been in my blood. So I'm fortunate to be able to use my IT background, my business, and my healthcare nursing.
I have to ask now, Sarah, I know what RN is. What you're laughing, but I do. I actually know what it is. What is CTTS?
CTTS is Certified Tobacco Treatment Specialist.
Oh, okay. Fran, you have more initials after yours than Carter's got liver pills. But okay, MSN, I know what that is. MBA is Master's in
Business.
Business, okay. MSIS?
Yeah, Information Technology. I figure I'd go for the trifecta. So I have nursing, business, and IT background.
Okay.
Project management.
PMP?
That's what, yeah, project management
project
certification.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, RN, I know what that is. BC?
That's board certified.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like
and then CTTS is the smoking thing, right?
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Okay. Now we found out what you guys do. let me just give you a little history with me. I quit smoking 28 years ago.
Congratulations.
I can't tell you how many years prior to that I smoked. But there was a little corner grocery store that the lady that ran it kept the lights out until somebody walked in, and then she put one light on. And she sold individual cigarettes for 2 cents a cigarette. I'm dating myself, obviously. But I would go with a dime and buy a cigarette. Across the street from her store was a park. I remember the first time I bought the individual cigarette, I went over to the park with a book of matches, wasted all 20 matches trying to light the cigarette, couldn't light it, so I finally stripped it down like I saw on television where they feel stripped it. But because of smoking, I have a touch of emphysema. But like I said, 28 years ago, I quit. And I tried all the things to quit prior. I can't tell you how many times I quit on New Year's Eve. New Year's Day started again, you know. But when they put me on an operating table and scraped my vocal cords with polyps and told me that was the last time they could do it, the next time they'd have to take the vocal cords out and I'd have to talk through the hole in my throat, I said, that's it. You know, I quit. No more. Having an addictive personality, that's why I don't go to Atlantic City or Pennsylvania there, but having an addictive type personality, at that time, the patch, the nicotine patch, was free. You didn't have to get a prescription. It wasn't free, but you didn't get a prescription for it. Mm-hmm. Let me reverse that. You needed a prescription for it. So I got it, and it was supposed to be a 12-week patch. After 6 weeks, I said, what if I get addicted to this patch with my personality? So I threw them out. Never smoked again. You know, I had quit, 6 weeks prior to that. I never smoked again. But I just am curious. All right, you're into this line of work now with smoking. Mm-hmm. So why don't you start by telling us how bad it is, you know, for people to smoke for their health. Now, I know from my experience how bad it is, but maybe there's people out there who don't. So once you, either one, it doesn't matter. You know.
Let me take that one, or would you like me to?
Go ahead.
I can start.
Sure.
Smoking is, you know, the leading cause of preventative death. It affects every system of the body. It affects conditions that we already have. So if a person is already diabetic and they smoke, they're now at a much increased risk for cardiovascular disease. It affects everything from the skin to the internal organs. There's really no part of the body that smoking doesn't affect. It causes more types of cancer than can even be mentioned right now. Cardiovascular disease, risk of stroke, risk of heart attack, you know. Mm-hmm. Also breathing. It affects your breathing. It makes asthma worse, COPD. And some of these effects start at a young age. So it's extremely detrimental to the health.
There's no safe way for smoking tobacco. And the American Cancer Society, 36.5 million Americans smoke cigarettes. And tobacco still, as Sarah alluded to, remains to be the single largest and preventable cause of death and premature death. And what they're noticing from in 1965, 42% that had smoking cigarettes had dropped. But now today, 2015, what you're seeing is a different type of device, if you will. You may see like the hookah pipes or the, like they call them, Juuls. E-vaping. Again, bottom line is there's no safe way for smoking tobacco. And it does. Tobacco impacts every organ within the system, whether okay. That's cardiovascular, your bloodstream. But the benefits of stop smoking, both long-term and immediate, are phenomenal. Like 20 minutes, your heart rate changes. In terms of 12 hours, carbon monoxide level in your blood drops to normal. 2 weeks to 3 months, your risk for heart attack begins to drop. Lung function improves. I've counseled some people about the smoking and the coughing. They wanted to be able to stop the coughing, and that's 1 to 9 months. So, and everybody can do it, and it takes work. And like you had mentioned, and number one, congratulations, 28 years. I commend you on that. It's not easy.
And you know the ironic part, not to interrupt you, but to this day, if someone lights up a Marlboro where I'm around, I have to walk away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really have to walk away because that's
what
I smoked for many years.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And it just, the smell of it, it just, like I said, I have to walk away because I know me. You know, I'd be back smoking, you know, and I don't want to do that by any stretch.
And Larry, that's what's important. You need to do a self-assessment in terms of what are your triggers. And you mentioned two key ones there. You know, if you're around somebody who is a smoker, you walk away because you know that will engender different experiences that you may have had. And the brain, it's a two-prong effect. It's both mental as well as physical in terms of that connection. And if you can identify that, and know what your triggers are, that will help you in the end. Even your support team, you know, make sure they you speak to them and tell them you don't want to be them to be enablers. You walk away, go outside, make a difference. It's a life change. It's not going to happen overnight, and in several attempts, you know, that's normal. So don't give up. You know, just keep going. Find out why you want to quit in the first place. Is it family? What is the driver there? And always go back to that, because everybody can be successful if they have the right combination. And that combination is both, you know, getting that counseling that they need, as well as what we'll talk about, I'm sure, NRT, or nicotine replacement therapy.
And, you know, it's like, it's habitual.
Yes.
I remember after smoking, one of the doctors said to me, just have a bag of pretzels or something alongside of you. So when you feel like smoking, you eat a pretzel. Well, I used to work in East Brunswick at the time, and I'd get off at 287, Every time I passed this gas station, which is right off of 287 onto River Road, on the left-hand side, I'd be reaching in my pocket for a cigarette. I'm, what, idiot, you don't smoke anymore. So I'd be grabbing handfuls of pretzels,
right?
You know.
Habit.
But, yeah, it's just a habit.
That's one of the things we specifically counsel our patients on, is what you're talking about. Their day-to-day routine is so important in their counseling. It's the reason why it's difficult to do counseling, you know, in-depth counseling quickly over the phone. We like to sit down with our patients,
right,
and really get into the nitty-gritty. You know, when do you smoke? What is the worst time of the day for you? Because we don't have a magic pill or a magic patch that's going to really, mm-hmm, you know, make you never want to smoke again.
Right.
As Fran said, it is so much a part of your daily routine. So it's commitment. And
after
it's
every meal and, you know.
Absolutely. It's just, morning, you know, time with,
right,
coffee.
Right.
Right.
Morning,
yeah,
and coffee after every meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know.
And if you have to, you have that urge, and it's such an urge in terms of, because it is an addiction, you know, maybe drink a glass of water. Some people had said, you know, the cold to clean out those toxins that are in your body. You know, go for a walk, meditate. There's different ways to substitute, you know, because usually after eating, people like to light up. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we should go for a brisk walk, you know, talk to a friend. Now, in the age of technology, in the 21st century, you have applications that you can have, you know, put out to your, you know, your phone if you want, or your computer.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, that's making that conscious effort, mm-hmm, to look at what is the day and, you know, what does my lifestyle look like? And I'm going to have to modify it, and it's going to have to take work. It doesn't come overnight. It's just like eating any other kind,
sure,
of compulsion, you know?
You know, like I said, I can't tell you how many times I quit before I actually quit.
But that's the main thing, is the key thing, as you said, you quit. And for 28 years.
Yep.
So you had that determination and that drive within you to do that.
And like I said, it was a determination that, with my big mouth, I wasn't about to talk through a, you know, some kind of a amplifier in my throat.
Right.
You know. And I know somebody that does have that.
Right. Yeah.
And you probably know him too. He's at the hospital and volunteers at the hospital, like I do once a week. But, you know, but I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And that just wasn't me. Of course, I wouldn't be doing the two radio shows either if I had that. But the thing is that it's, you know, it's so sad when you see all these young people smoking. You know, all right, I was young when I did it. I mean, I'd be the first to admit that. But in this day and age, with all the knowledge that they put out about smoking and quit smoking and all the places they don't allow you to smoke anymore. And, you know, I mean, you used to go into a bar. I mean, I never drank, but I mean, you'd go into a bar and, you know, a haze of smoke there. You know,
that's,
you didn't,
right,
have to light up. You could just breathe it, you know.
Yeah.
Now it's not that way, you know, or restaurants used to be able to smoke.
That's right.
And I think that more and more places cut it out. That's great, because it helps people. I don't know if it helps them or angers them, but either way, they can't smoke there. So it's
a deterrent. I mean, I've had many patients tell me it might not be their number one motivation for wanting to quit, but they mention it. They mention the fact that when they go to a family outing, a wedding, you know, out with their friends, they're the only one left who smokes. They,
right,
can't find a place to go smoke, and it does affect.
Sure.
It does affect them socially. So.
Sure.
And I know when my husband used to bowl, and he was a darn good bowler, him and his dad, he'd come home and he'd reek like smoke. And, boy, I just couldn't. I had to actually have him take his clothes off at the door. And now with the second and third hand smoke that permeates into your clothing and your rugs and your carpets, you know, you and also some of the millennials are, or to be fair to them, a lot of them are more health conscious. They try to eat right, like my sons. God bless them. They're both into fitness. So they know by putting in a cigarette or that smoke, they don't even like to be around secondhand smoke, even myself, you know, because when you go to a restaurant or if somebody's standing outside, you can see that, and it just changes, you know,
mm-hmm,
you're gasping for air sometimes because,
right,
it just chokes you.
Right. It's true. What do you guys recommend, what methods do you recommend for quitting?
Yeah.
We typically will counsel patients on the 7 FDA-approved medications, or which are nicotine replacement, the patch, gum, lozenge. There's a nicotine inhaler. There is also a nicotine nasal spray. And then there are two oral medications that are recommended. One is Chantix, and the other is Wellbutrin.
Mm-hmm.
are also called
Which are advertised all the time. Shantex is advertised on television all the time.
Yes. Yeah. So we try to counsel our patients on all of the options that are available, as long as there's no reason why that patient physically can't have a certain medication. We would try to make sure they know all of their options because people have different preferences. And they may have tried a few things in the past and not done well. So
that's why it's important. It's a combination. It's not an isolation. You need to have both the physician. Your physician, you need to seek out your primary care physician as the first step and use that in combination with your, like, over-the-counter, as Sarah alluded to, the nicotine products, as you did at one time as well. You had mentioned you paid, but now there's payers that, you know, a lot of this stuff is covered.
Right.
So the expense should not be a need. But you need that combination. You need that motivation, and you have a primary physician who knows your background, your health history, so they can help navigate you through making sure that they give you that right combination. I say it's like a Rubik's Cube. You got to line up the different colors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing with smoking. You know, not only the working with the primary care, but also the treatment. What is the best treatment? It might be the patch. It might be the lozenges. It might be the gum. It depends. It may be a combination. You know, it may be your own way that you, you know, exercise or chew on toothpicks. You had mentioned ice or whatever.
Right.
There's different ways, but, you know, you have to work primarily with your primary care physician.
What about these, what do they call them? These cigarettes. They're not cigarettes.
The e-cigarette?
The what?
The e-cigarette.
Yeah, that. There you go.
So we, as healthcare providers, we cannot recommend e-cigarettes to our patients because they're not FDA regulated. So we don't really know what's in them. We know that they are less harmful than cigarettes. I think that's been proven. But there's still a lot of studies out there about the different flavorings and chemicals that go into the cartridges that are put into them. And the fact is we're not sure what the long-term effects are going to be of that. And not having a complete disclosure of what those chemicals are makes it difficult to recommend. But almost every patient who comes in for counseling asks about them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's stop and think. I don't know if either of you ever smoked.
I did, actually.
Okay.
At one time.
Okay, so when you smoke and then you want to quit, it would make sense if these e-cigarettes are healthy to use that, you know, instead of a patch or this or that or something else, because it's carrying on the tradition that you've been used to.
Yes.
And it's supposedly, quote-unquote, healthier.
Yes.
If they are healthier, I don't know. I never used them, so I don't know.
No cigarette, any type of nicotine, the evidence-based information is healthy for you.
Do these have nicotine in them?
They have nicotine, but it's not in it's the amounts that are not really disclosed. So some of them will say they're low nicotine, but, I mean, the fact is the most harmful part of the cigarette is the what we call products of combustion. So it's 7,000 chemicals that are in the actual tobacco. So the nicotine is the addictive part of the cigarette, but not the dangerous part of the cigarette, whereas the tobacco is dangerous. So that's where the makers of e-cigarettes are trying to get you to think that this is, you know, a healthy option.
Right.
They're using this flavored cartridge along with a minor amount of nicotine.
Okay.
But it's what's in that cartridge that makes the e-cigarette dangerous, and we don't really know what's in that cartridge, basically.
And I guess they don't want you to know. That's why they didn't go through the FDA.
Right. And I think there's going to be down the road some changes in that, but for now, you know, as healthcare providers, we definitely can't recommend them.
Yeah, there's commercials that are running now, which was interesting because it was ironic. I heard it on my way in, and I'm like, interesting. You know how they have all your whatever your drug, and then at the end all the disclosures.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have same thing with this cigarette that they were advertising. And then if you listen carefully towards the end of that endorsement, they'll tell you everything that it is not recommended. And to tell what Sarah had mentioned about those 7,000 combustible poisonous cancers, the American Lung Association also found that like 69. Carcinogens within a cigarette. So it's not something that you want to engage in.
No, you know, and I think that you wanted to talk, I think we mentioned nicotine
Replacement.
Replacement. There you go.
Right. They call it NRT. Sometimes okay. You hear that in the acronym. Right.
Okay. Well, I've never heard of it, so why don't you explain what it is?
Well, nicotine replacement just covers the patch, gum, lozenge, all of the ways that we can replace nicotine, which would include also the nasal spray and the inhaler. And it's called nicotine replacement because that's all it is. All it is nicotine in those products. That's why some patients prefer that rather than taking a new brand new medication that they've never had and dealing with side effects. When a person uses a nicotine patch, nicotine gum, lozenge, they're not putting anything new in their body. If you're smoking cigarettes, you're getting nicotine. So by using nicotine replacement, you're giving yourself a low level of nicotine, enough to make the process of quitting smoking much more comfortable as far as the symptoms of withdrawal. And as far as the fear of addiction to nicotine replacement, when you smoke a cigarette, the nicotine reaches the brain within 7 to 10 seconds, and that's what makes it so addictive. When you use a patch, gum, lozenge, the other forms of replacement, you stay at a low level. You don't have that quick hit to the brain of nicotine, which is what makes it a very low risk for addiction. And, you know, just having a nicotine patch versus the harm of a cigarette, there's no contest. So even if someone did stay on a nicotine patch a little bit longer than recommended, that would not be nearly or even, it wouldn't even touch, you know, smoking. So we definitely are proponents for nicotine replacement.
As Sarah was saying, I think one key there is the sustainability throughout. So you don't have those highs and lows. And the best combination is the physician with the medication that they have over the counter, as you alluded mm-hmm. to, the patch, and Sarah had mentioned the different lozenges and gum. And the way you chew the gum, a lot of people don't realize this, that they call it parking of the gum, where you take a few bites. You don't, you know, grind it. You just take a few bites, and then you put it within your cheek, so it has an opportunity to, you know, work.
Right.
There's different mechanism, and that would be best to determine that with your primary physician, because they may have to alter, maybe have jitters or things of that nature, withdrawal. You might need the stronger. And how many packs of smoking do you smoke a day? You know, and again, the cost associated with that from smoking cigarettes. Now, let's use that cost that we spend on cigarettes and turn that into nicotine replacement therapy, which a lot of your payers now will pick up the tab as seeing that you're reaching out and trying to make a difference and help yourself be successful.
For many years after I quit, I'm going to say about 6-7 years after I quit, during that period, every day, if I smoke, I would average about a pack and a half a day. I would, of course, they're not $8 a pack like they are now, but they were a lot cheaper. Yeah. I would take that money and I'd put it in a little box. And I can't tell you how much I saved over
right?
the years.
Right, over time, you know? Sure.
But I did want to ask you, with this patch, what happens if somebody lights a cigarette and smokes a cigarette while they're on this patch?
Well, the view of that has changed. The patch itself, if you were to go pick up a box of patches, it certainly has warnings on it.
Mm-hmm.
It is not recommended to smoke while you're wearing a nicotine patch. However, a lot of the studies out there that have been done have changed the viewpoint about nicotine replacement therapy. And if a patient smokes a cigarette with a nicotine patch on, we tell them not to take that patch off. You know, if you smoke a lot of cigarettes with a nicotine patch on, you may have some symptoms. You may have headache, nausea, shakiness, things like that. But I think it used to be a fear that you would spontaneously combust if you were to smoke a cigarette while you were wearing a patch. That's not the case. And our concern is if someone smokes a cigarette and says, oh, I have a patch on, and they take it off, well, now they're going to want another cigarette an hour later. So,
well, I know for a fact, it's going back some because when I worked in the office, you could smoke. Mm. And this gentleman was wearing a patch. Now, this is going back years, like when the patch first came out. And he lit a cigarette, and he was smoking cigarettes while he had the patch on. Well, he went into unconsciousness, and they had to rush him to a hospital. And they attributed it to the fact that he was smoking when he had the patch on. Now, of course, the patch was just brand new at that point. You know, it wasn't like it is now 20 years later.
Right.
But, you know, it's just kind of scary when you stop and think somebody out there maybe having a patch on and they smoke a cigarette and they wind up, you know, unconscious or whatever, you know, especially if they're driving or some point. He happened to be sitting at his desk, so, you know. But still, you know, it was kind of scary, yeah. You know.
Some people are even... some physicians actually in some studies out there even talk about starting nicotine replacement before your actual quit date while you're cutting back. So things have definitely changed with nicotine patches. Nicotine patches are now placed on patients who have had a heart attack immediately post heart attack.
Okay.
And that the reason for that is because they don't want that patient to go home and start smoking again.
Right.
That would be so much more dangerous than them wearing, you know, this low-dose nicotine patch. So I think it's come a long way. When the nicotine patch first came out, I'm wondering how many milligrams of nicotine were actually in it as compared to now.
I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
It's been quite a few years yeah.
that it's been out. So,
because yeah.
I know this is going back a few years with this fella, mm-hmm. you know, because I wound up seeing him in a hospital. You know, they kept him there for a couple of days, you know, and they attribute it to the patch and him smoking. They couldn't
right.
find anything else.
And if he was smoking cigarette after cigarette after cigarette, that's certainly a large amount of
right.
nicotine to take in
right.
with a patch. You know, so I think things have changed, but certainly patients need to use caution. Like I said, we never recommend a patient to be smoking and wearing the patch. But, you know, we do tell them that, you know, we don't want them taking that patch off if they have that slip up, that one cigarette slip up.
All right. Real quick, Fran, do you have any one of these nicotine prevention things that you recommend over the others? Or do you associate it with the person?
It would be an individual basis. And again, my best advice is to work closely with your physician. Because, like the Rubik's Cube, you got to line up because maybe that strength isn't, if you're on a patch, maybe it's 21 milligrams. You know, maybe you don't need it that strong. And they will get some history from you. How many cigarettes do you smoke a day? Are you a pack smoker? Are you a cigarette smoker? And then there's a way you can gauge it. And maybe they need lozenges. Maybe they have dentures and they don't want to chew gum. So, you know, you have to look at that.
That's me.
You know, so you have to see what is the best course of action for your immediate customized needs.
Okay. I understand this Thursday is the Great American Smokeout. Either of you want to talk about that?
Sure. You want to?
Sure. The Great American Smokeout is a day that we hope that people will put down their cigarettes for 24 hours. So as Hunterdon Healthcare kind of has an initiative, all of our family practices were invited to be part of a competition to see how many patients they could sign up to quit smoking for 24 hours. And I think they're doing, I don't know that all of them signed up, but of the ones that signed up, we have many patients signed up to put cigarettes down for 24 hours. And we also have generated many referrals to the certified tobacco treatment specialist for patients who not only want to quit that day, but they want to quit long-term. Because an interesting fact is that of smokers, of the whole number of smokers, 70% of them actually want to quit. So it's important as healthcare professionals that we're always asking our patients when they come in, are you interested in quitting? Even if the answer is no, there might be that one time that the answer is yes.
Yeah, and if you get one person,
right.
that's what it's all about.
Right.
You know,
we have one practice that has 150 patients signed up to stop smoking for 24 hours.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It really
exciting.
Is. And you know, like, because when I'm with NAMI, when I'm dealing with National Alliance on Mental Illness, and, you know, people say, why do you do all this, you know, teach classes, do presentations, you know, to the radio? And my answer is, if I can help one person, mm-hmm. that makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah.
And if you can get one person to quit Thursday for good, that makes it worthwhile.
And it's not only that individual, it's their surrounding people. So it can
yep.
be their spouse, their significant other, the children, the grandchildren. It like permeates. You don't know how many people are impacted by that one. And plus, they also vie for this Covenant Kick Butt Trophy, and that's B-U-T-T, I should emphasize. It's a Golden Glove boxing trophy that they get, as well as the ticket items for the practice. You just recognize them, little goodie bags.
Right, right.
And they give it to the practice that has the highest percent of smokers that make that agreement to quit on November 16th, which happens to be this Thursday.
This Thursday, right.
Yeah.
The great thing, too, is that in doing that, in preparing the practices for the Great American Smokeout, we're also giving them facts and things that they can say throughout the rest of the year to patients when they have questions about quitting smoking. So it really is a great initiative. It helps to educate the staff.
And I'm sure the hospital is supporting this.
Yes, absolutely.
Know, definitely, I would think.
Yes, they are.
Know, but, you know, it's interesting because, like you said, a lot of people want to quit, but they may be addicted like I was, and their personalities, you know, won't let them quit, you know. Like I said, I can't tell you how many times I quit on New Year's Eve, you know, for my New Year's Eve revolution. I'm going to quit smoking. Yeah, that lasted till about 2 o'clock, you know, New Year's morning, you know.
Right.
But it's sad because it is addictive, and it is, you don't realize, I think, when you start, well, I never did when I started, that it was addictive, and then I'd be doing, you know, I'd be controlled by it, and basically you are, you know.
Right.
It is. It's a lifestyle change, and as you said, the hardest part, and a lot of your smokers, they have attempted many times.
Oh, yeah.
So the important thing is don't give up. You know, once you slip, don't quit, you know. Get back up on that horse, if you will, and you know, find out and put down why did I want to quit in the first place. Have that whatever that phrase, that goal emblazoned in your head or somewheres, or have a good support team that will help encourage you to try again. Right, exactly.
For a person to quit, on average, they will try to quit 8 times. So I think as counselors, part of our job is to make sure that they don't feel bad about it. If they relapse is extremely common in quitting. We want them to tell us because we want to try to help them. And it's okay if they're not ready to try again yet. But the important thing is that, you know, they don't think they can't try again just because they slipped up that time.
Right.
Because it's common.
Right. I remember, you know, my wife used to always tell me, go outside and smoke. I'd look at her and say, this is my house too. You know, I have rights here, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or I'm thick-headed, you know. That hasn't changed. I'm still thick-headed. But thinking back and now realizing someone who smokes and it's on their clothes and, it, you know, you can smell it when they walk in.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, no wonder she told me to go outside, you know, because she never smoked. You know,
right.
I think she took one drag one time, you know, when she was like 12 and that was it, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's just, you know, sad, you know.
Yeah, and then you have to also, what you can do is try to, again, like anything, if your eating habits, you want to get rid of all the food that, you know, the chips and the stuff like that. Well, the same thing with the cigarettes. If you're going to be serious about it, clean house, get rid of it all. If you're going to take care of the upholstery or the carpet, get some refreshener, Pine Sol, whatever, to get rid of that smell, because that may be a trigger.
Yeah,
that may
absolutely.
Say, hey,
absolutely.
We're even going to your car. A lot of people smoke in the car.
Absolutely.
You know, you can justify it no matter what, but you got to make it an environment where you'll be successful. So any kind of triggers of a smell or, you know, the actual cigarette, it's a good idea to out of sight, out of mind.
And including talking to your family, because say your wife was a smoker, and you were trying to quit, and now she's smoking in the house. We run into that often.
Right.
And that's a really difficult problem that people face. And so we do encourage them to sit down with their family members, talk to them, let them know this is something that's important to them that they're trying to do. And, you know, I'd like you to support me. And sometimes it does mean asking people to go outside to smoke, or when friends are coming over, explaining to them, I'm trying to do this. And, you know, if you could refrain from smoking around me. And it's a difficult conversation for people to have, but I think it's worth it in the end if it makes them more successful.
Right. Unfortunately, I have 4 kids and 2 of them still smoke. Oh. 2 quit, 2 still smoke. And I blame myself because I figured that I was the influence that started them to smoke, you know. But But they do go outside. We don't let them smoke in the house, you know. They do say, I don't care if it's raining, snowing, what, yep. You go outside, you know. But, you know, the resources that you have, where are they, you know, where is it located at? Is it off-site or is it at the hospital inside or?
We have someone within the hospital who is a certified tobacco treatment specialist,
okay.
And she is a cardiovascular care coordinator, and she goes and sees patients within the hospital and does counseling with them. We also have Fran, myself, and there are a few others who are either embedded in practices, in family practices, working with that patient population.
Okay.
And Fran works with people over the phone. We have other care coordinators and tobacco treatment specialists who work over the phone with patients as well. So
yeah, and also they would come in too. Like I've had people actually just come to the office.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to make that a quit attempt. Mm-hmm. So I would sit down with them, and that's why it's so important, because it's not only just one-dimensional. You have to look at the individual as a three-dimensional, because they have other things going on, and then
right.
You try to see how you can help the big picture, you know, work with them, customize their program. But they also have the physician referral line, which is 1-800-511 and the number 4-HMC, or 1-800-511-4462, which is the initial, you know, reaching out to their physician referral line, and then their respective practices, they would direct them to whatever closest to them. And then our healthcare providers, they have the resources, and they know internally in-house who they can, you know, reach out to.
We also are all provided with all of the family practices have been provided with what we call an expert binder, and it has resources and it has information about nicotine replacement and ways to help a patient quit, and all of the practices are equipped with that. So that helps to educate the staff.
Okay.
So we also do a lot to educate people within the staff who are in the position to,
right.
to help the patients. We would love more resources, but I think we do a good job with what we have.
That's right, and they have the New Jersey Quit Line, too.
As well, yes.
NJQuitLine.org. And then also another very good resource is the CDC, or Center of Disease Control.gov. It's very helpful. Or the American Cancer Society. They use hypnosis as well,
mm-hmm.
as well as we have an integrative medicine program that does, like, acupuncture, meditation, classes of that nature. So in terms of robustness, it depends on how you want to learn, telephonic support.
So I'm under the impression that, correct me if I'm wrong, that a person who wants to quit gets referred by his physician?
The physician is your starting point, or individuals, we prefer them go have a one-on-one conversation with their immediate physician, since they know their health.
Their background. And
exactly.
Their health. Okay.
And they can direct them in the appropriate channels. The other option is they have other support groups out there, like the NJ Quit, but people may need both. The best combination is meeting with your physician to see whether you need over-the-counter, RX, which is a prescription,
right.
or maybe motivation, interviewing in terms of, you know, let's work together, even if you fall off the horse or something, let's get back on the horse. Maybe it was a valid reason why you had a slip-up.
Also pharmacies.
Yeah, pharmacy.
Pharmacists at your local CVS, Rite Aid, they also are working with patients to help them quit, and they're doing counseling right there in the pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I know Rite Aid does, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Some people,
we, of course, want them to meet with their physician because
right.
that's their family
right.
physician, but it's important that people are aware that there's a lot out there as far as counseling and treatment goes. So.
Right, the options. Some like telephonics. Some like in-person groups. You know, they want that physical connection.
Right, right.
Maybe a combination may work for them in addition to medication. So it's really an individual's choice to customize that program.
If someone, and I'm sure there's people out there who do not have a physician or what they consider a family physician, what do they do? How do they, if they want to quit smoking, how do they go about it?
Well, we look at the New Jersey Quit Line,
mm-hmm.
Starting with them. And a lot of today's people are savvy with the internet. So there's a lot of different resources.
A lot more than me, I can tell you that.
Well, no, that's okay. You got to start somewhere, right? So like the American Cancer Society, just picking up the phone the old-fashioned way, you know, and calling them and asking them, this is my situation. How do I get started? And they may direct them in the appropriate channel.
Okay. And again, they can also go to their pharmacist if they have one.
Mm-hmm.
A local pharmacy, they can go there as well. And if they are internet savvy or if they're smartphone savvy, there's lots of great apps out there that can be downloaded right on your phone that can send motivational messages to you daily. There's just a lot out there.
Yeah,
so.
And we just had a Facebook chat yesterday on smoking, the Great American Smoke Out. And that was a vehicle that we used to educate the community.
Right.
You know.
That's, you know, I think there's a lot of people who have quit, you know, over the last 20 years or so. But I think there's an awful lot that still should, you know, because you still see people smoking all the time and,
sure.
you know, wherever you go. And, you know, for having been such a dedicated smoker, for lack of a better word, and now to see these people, I just feel like going up and shaking them. You know, like, what is the matter with you? Don't you realize what you're doing? You know,
right.
Like your two sons, they should see you as a role model. I mean, after 28 years to, you know, curtail that, I think that's wonderful. But it's got to come from within. It's a visceral thing.
Yep.
You know, and again, it's that brain and the connection. And when they're ready, they know when they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a passion to drive that, wanting to quit.
Right, right. How long, on the average, can people use these supplements to, you know, like nicotine, like the gum or the patch or whatever?
They can use them up to 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah, there are very specific instructions on, you know, on the labeling, on the packaging for the patches, the gum, the lozenge. But in general, I would say nicotine replacement therapy can be done or used for up to 6 months. And some people need more or less. And depending on the amount of cigarettes you smoke per day, you might not need to start with the highest dose of nicotine patch, for instance. So you'd be starting with the second step, which is a 14-milligram patch, and then going down to the 7-milligram patch. That would affect that timeline as well.
And
so it really depends what your starting point is.
And the patch is for... See, like mine, when they gave it to me, was 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 12 weeks. And, you know, each week you put a different patch on.
Well, they would adjust based on what, if you're a pack smoker versus 10 cigarettes, you know, are you a two-pack smoker? That's why
Absolutely.
It's so important that you have that customized with your primary care physician.
Because
the same thing with lozenges, they do it in 4 milligrams versus 2 milligrams. So if you're a pack, they may give you the four milligram because you have that much more nicotine built up.
Right.
And again, they want that consistency, that sustainability of that nicotine, so you don't have those fluctuations and you feel those cravings. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious because, like I said, after about 6 weeks when I had the patch, I said, that's it, I stop, you know. But there was another 6 weeks to go because it started high and then each week it went down, you know.
Yeah. And that's what they do to try to taper it up. It depends. Again, it's your individual.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you start out with 21 or 14. It depends on where you are.
And you did well with that. So you stop. Yeah. You use it for 6 weeks, and now you're on 28 years not smoking.
Right.
So that worked for you. Now, if we had someone come in and tell us they relapsed and they used the patch for 6 weeks, we would probably encourage them to stay the course and, you know, use their patch for a little while longer.
Right.
And educate them, too. Maybe they're not aware of the other options,
NRTs,
right.
such as, you know, the lozenges or the inhaler or the gum.
Maybe they were smoking so much that they needed the patch and the low dose.
Exactly.
Like
combination.
So
too.
Combination therapy is very common now, and it's something that didn't used to be prescribed, and now it is. So.
Well, I don't know where the hour went, but...
Did it go by so fast?
It went by so fast. Last minute, do you have anything else that we didn't cover that you'd like to speak about? Or
I think smoking... quitting smoking is the only thing that I see that you can quit and be successful. You know, it's okay to stop smoking, and it's an individual choice. And I really have you just, you know, reflect and what am I doing, you know, not only for yourself, but for your family, because it is impacting the people that you live with.
Right.
So it's a commitment, and don't get frustrated if you, you know, have to go back. It's an ongoing, but like you did 28 years, again, I commend you for being successful.
Well, I tell you, you see some of the commercials they have on television, and I got,
right.
I got a pretty strong thing.
At that. Those visual graphics.
Something doesn't scare me, but that's your man. I can't even look at it. I just shiver,
right.
You know.
Yeah, you lose
right.
your digits,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
your toes and
it's
stuff
just
like
unbelievable.
That. Some people need that visual, you know, stimulate
right.
to
absolutely.
See that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I can't thank you ladies enough for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
And, thank you, Larry.
You know, don't forget this Thursday is the Great American Smokeout, so if you're a smoker, quit for the day. And, you know, you can get help. There's help out there.
That's right.
Right? And we'd like to thank you both ladies for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Larry.
We'll be back again next week, same time, same station, so tune in. In the meantime, quit smoking.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally